Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And stepping into this world of guests with us on WBAI is Dr. Natalie Reed from California, who's with us by satellite telephone. Hi, Natalie. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Armand. Thanks for having me.
All right. Could you talk a little louder on that end? Our phones are going to do this.
Sure.
Yeah, as close as you can, as loud as you can, just to get this projected across these many miles.
Okay.
There you are. Natalie, let's talk about a book called Five Steps to a Quantum Life, but let's talk about what you do. You have a PhD in psychology?
Yes.
What is that PhD in? What do you do?
What I do is I marry quantum physics and how that works with work with the subconscious mind and how that works.
So your work as a psychologist is working with the subconscious mind. Do you do the work of psychotherapy? Is that the work you do?
No, I don't call it psychotherapy, psychotherapy aims at a different sort of population, I think. I work with more the general population and work with helping people have smoother lives, but not people who are below the level of health.
Below the level of health or help?
No one's below the level of health. Below the level of the average person with issues, but not a lot of pathology.
Okay, keep describing it. Tell me more about what you do.
What I do is I help people to reprogram their subconscious minds so that their lives can work more smoothly. And I do that using the secrets of quantum physics, because the way quantum physics works is so miraculous that I marry the two together and work in that way.
Tell me, keep going with it, Natalie.
Okay. As your listeners probably know, everything in the world is made up of molecules, and those are made up of atoms. So everything in our physical world is made up of atoms, and inside the atoms are subatomic particles. And what the scientists discovered long ago is that in certain experiments, if you watch the experiment and observe it, that you get a different result than if you don't. When you don't observe it, the subatomic particles behave like sound waves, like invisible waves of energy. And if you do observe it, they become a physical piece of matter, of substance. So therefore, the way I'm operating is to say you create your reality literally, and you do that with your subconscious mind. So I work with people to change what's in their subconscious mind so that the world they're creating is more beautiful.
And how do you do that specifically?
Well, specifically, it's issue by issue, case by case, but the first thing we want to do is eliminate the negative or unhelpful, let's put it that way, messages that are in our subconscious mind. And as you know with your work, everything you've ever been exposed to is in your subconscious mind, and that's all part of the pattern that's creating your world. So you want to go back and clean out and eliminate some of those negative messages so that once you change that program, your world will reflect a much more positive experience.
Natalie, we're going to take a very short break here because I'm hearing that we're going to have to redo this. We're going to have to remake the telephone connection again. So I'm going to get right back with you, okay?
Okay.
Just stick with me. And this is Armand DeMille back with you with talking about quantum physics, Quantum Life with Natalie Reed. And you may not have heard too well at the very beginning, but maybe Natalie Reed is on some kind of a cell phone or something, or some kind of a handheld phone. Natalie, are you with us now? We're going to get her back on the air. Hello there, Natalie. I'm sorry. All right, we're going to get her back in just a minute. We try so many different answers. We try so many different ways of finding answers for life. You know, there's a thing called positive psychology, which is to look at the positive side of things and to try to make things, to try to focus on the strengths that people have. On the other side of it, you know, there's the other way of looking at it, which is psychoanalytically, which is to say, let's look at the deep pains that people go through. Some people step above it all, and Natalie Reed is one of them. She says, look, beyond pathology, beyond serious damage, beyond the kind of thing which is crazy functioning, how do you go from normal functioning to good functioning? Okay, that's the question. Natalie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Just a question, Natalie. Are you using a handheld phone, or are you using a, is it connected to the wall phone, or is it a...
It's a handheld phone.
It's a walk-around phone?
Yes.
That's our problem.
Okay.
Can you switch that?
Yeah, let me do that real quick. Let me see if I can...
Yeah, I should have cautioned you about that. That's almost
the
never...
The other one doesn't work for other... Okay, how's that? Is that better?
Now you're on air.
Okay.
And before that, you weren't on air, okay? So we're okay. Almost like we're starting over.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here we go again. So, Natalie Reed, I mean, psychology, great thing, psychology. People learn about their minds. They learn how to get better. They learn how to be one thing or another. They learn how to improve their lives. They learn that they have crazy thinking. That's one level of it. But then you want something like you want to get the job you want to get.
Exactly.
So let's say you're like someone who walked in here the other day, a stylist from Australia, right? And the stylist walks in and says, I'm from Australia and I've left my family behind and I want to manifest. I want to get a job as a stylist. And I'm hunting around and I just can't seem to get it and I'm struggling, but my intention is there. What does Natalie Reed say to her about how she should approach that?
Okay, well, first of all, that's a great example. And first of all, we're going to, I'm going to call her Sue because I don't know her name.
That's her name, Sue, by the way. You're very mystical.
Okay, well, you know, what I'm going to talk to her about is, first of all, we want to see what's in the way because there's a reason why it's not moving more smoothly right now. And it's not about that there are only a few jobs in Manhattan. I mean, it's you can't look at the externals. It's all about you. And I really focus on you are creating your reality, and in your reality, all you need is one job. You don't need 20 jobs as a stylist. You only need one. So you can create that one. And you're going to look at what are the reasons you wouldn't want to get it. And there are many, many reasons why somebody doesn't want to succeed. Maybe they want to be a martyr and punish all the people around them. Maybe they want to feel sorry for themselves. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of other issues that could get in the way, so you want to eliminate all those possibilities first and then make a clean choice.
Okay, Natalie, that's a very good idea. Now, let's go with that. Just go back for a moment. So that's a pretty radical thought. Here's somebody who wants nothing but to get a job as a stylist in New York. And if you say to them, yeah, why wouldn't you want to get that job? They'll say, oh, there's no reason. It's all I want.
That's right.
But you say, no, no, no. Look on the dark side. Yeah. Examine the dark side. Validate the perception that you don't want the job because you haven't gotten the job, right? So now look at it as if you don't want to get it and see what you could come up with.
That's right.
And now, that's very difficult to do because everybody wants to defend themselves immediately.
Exactly, exactly. But if you tell yourself the truth and you don't even have to share it, I mean, you can write this down. You don't have to tell anybody else, but you can think, oh, you know what? It is kind of cool to, you know, I do kind of hit somebody over the head with this. And, you know, my family back home, I do say, well, you know, I'm struggling here or whatever. You know, there's a reason. And you want to acknowledge that. It's a human thing. So you just acknowledge it. And
so part of what you may acknowledge is, number one, by proving that I'm struggling, my family feels sorry for me, and this keeps me attached to them in one way.
Exactly.
Or by staying not getting the job, by not getting what I want, in a way I stay dependent on them. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And it could be that, or it could be many other. I mean, yes, that's one perfect example.
Okay. So keep going with the different
parts. So then once you've identified, and there's a whole series of different places to look for what is going on that's in the way. Well, besides, you have beliefs. What is your belief? Do you truly believe you can get this job? If you don't believe you can get it, you're not going to get it. And then you have your self-image. What is your self-image? Because without the right self-image, you can get the job and then lose it. So you have.
Well, how could you ever be so static as to truly believe in anything? I mean, could I believe I could get a job? You know, if I have a cup of coffee in the morning, I believe I'm getting the job. If I don't have the coffee in the morning, I don't think I'm getting the job. There are so many other factors that could be working. What do you mean truly believe you can get the job?
Well, your beliefs. You have a belief system of, you know, you believe. I mean, some people believe that they can only rise to a certain level in the world, and that's as far as they'll rise. If you don't truly believe that you can get the job, you're not going to get it. Your beliefs precede your reality.
But how could you tell if you truly believe as opposed to think you believe?
Well, one way you can tell is by looking at your life, and if you don't believe it, you don't have it, so you want to change your belief. If you're in doubt, you change your belief, and I have a technique to do that. You go into a place, and you make a new belief, and you change it. So that way, you don't have to worry about whether you did or didn't truly believe it. You just have it. It's in there now.
We're speaking with Natalie Reed, Dr. Natalie Reed, who wrote a book, a very small book, very nice book, called Five Steps to a Quantum Life. She talks about quantum physics, and believe it or not, my friends, we are now talking about quantum physics, in effect, because now Natalie is talking about the larger you. She says as a premise, if you don't mind my saying so, Natalie.
Go ahead.
The premise here is, if it is the way it is, it's probably by your design. Probably, or a good possibility it's by your design. If you're unhappy with what you've got, maybe you're a part of it, and you have to look at what part you have in having your reality be the reality it is. Is that accurate so far?
It's pretty good, and the whole point is, so if you're not happy with what you have, here's how you can change it.
And so first you have to find out why you don't want what you want or you do want. Then once you get past recognizing that, here's what you could do to change it. Let's talk about the possible changes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the next thing for this pursue who's wanting a job as a stylist, the next thing she's going to do is once she's cleared out everything that's in the way, and there's a whole series of steps to do to clear everything out. Once she's cleared everything out, then she wants to have the positive messages in, and that's when you start doing your visualizing. I don't know if your listeners saw the movie The Secret, but I have three steps before and one step after what they do. And then you're going to be visualizing. You're going to be thinking positive. You're going to be truly convincing yourself.
Well, slow it down. Let's see that people didn't see The Secret.
Okay.
Take us through it.
Okay. The Secret, actually, I was just, I don't have anything to do with The Secret, but what they do is talk about visualizing and affirmations. And what I say is that you can't just start visualizing and affirming. You have to first clear out what's in the way, which we just discussed. And then once you have cleared out the things that are getting in the way of your getting what you want, then you do want to visualize, picture yourself, but more importantly, feel what it feels like to have what you want.
You live in San Francisco, Natalie?
Close to it, yes.
No wonder you talk like this. Could you tell us what visualizing means?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Visualizing is picturing in your mind, or even if you don't see a picture, because visualizing is a misnomer, you want to feel what it feels like to have what you want. For example, we want to see Sue would be visualizing seeing herself getting a job and going in and seeing what it would be like, that it's a great place, that people are great to her, she's got great clients, she's got a great boss, she's got a good salary, it's a good location. It's a quick subway right away. I mean, all the things that she wants it to be. And it could be something different. She may want to walk to work or whatever. But whatever she wants, she's going to picture herself having that and feel what that feels like to have it.
So there are many people listening right now who have a dream.
Yes.
And in their dream, they find themselves unable to reach this reality. It could be a physical reality. You know, that common one, I can't lose weight. I can't get the body I want. You're going to tell me, Dr. Reed, with all due respect, that all you have to do is visualize a skinny body and you become thin?
Absolutely not, and I definitely am not saying that at all. First of all, you have to look at why, if for somebody who has a weight issue, they're complicated. It's not just one reason why you have that. So first of all, you're going to have to go back and do all the things that we just talked about to eliminate why you do want to have the weight issue. And then secondly, you then are going to make a choice about what you're going to do. Quantum physics shows us that change takes place in less than a nanosecond. It just is instantaneous, but you don't see the results in the physical world for a long time. So somebody who decides they're going to lose weight decides that at this moment, but we won't see that result for months because you don't see that the person can't just instantly lose the weight. But once they make up their mind, then they're going to take physical steps as well, but they are also going to have a positive affirmation that I'm losing weight now, I'm getting more and more healthy now, and they're going to be exercising and watching what their intake is and all those things. It's not just presto changeo, I just think it and now it's done.
So how does the awareness of quantum physics help in what seems to be the same kind of advice that your cab driver would give you? You know, imagine yourself thinner, lose weight, exercise. What is the difference?
Well, the cab drivers have really become much more enlightened now than
we
when I was living in Manhattan years
in
ago.
New York.
When
I Are you
was
kidding?
In Manhattan,
they're better than most of the therapists we have.
Well, when I was living in Manhattan, they didn't give that advice, but that was a long time ago. The using the secrets of quantum physics is what proves why these things work. So, as I said, for example, change takes place in an instant, and in quantum physics, there are spontaneous changes where what was there before is gone, and the new thing is a brand new thing, and it's just like magic. It's pop, and it's the old thing is gone, and the new thing is there. Knowing that that's how the physical world works, it gives you much more permission to make changes in your life, because that is, you can say, okay, the physical reality is going to support what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling.
Since some people didn't hear you at the very beginning, let's go back to the whole concept of quantum physics and what quantum physics is.
Okay.
Quantum physics, and the idea here, and the reason we're calling it quantum physics is because it sounds so smart. No, quantum physics.
It sounds like you have to be a real smarty pants to understand
just
it, but
just to
you
understand
don't.
It, right. Quantum physics is like X-Lax.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand it. You can just be an average person, just like me. And all it is everything in the world is made up of molecules, and all the molecules are made up of atoms, and everybody pretty much knows that. Inside the atoms, there are electrons and protons. There are a whole host of other entities. And inside the atom is the world of quantum. And when you study what's inside the atom, it's very surprising. The little subatomic particles don't operate the way you would expect them to. They don't follow Newton's laws of gravity or anything else. They do things completely magically. And when you realize...
Well, what seems magically, they may follow laws, but laws we don't understand.
That's right. And so, but the way we would look at it is magic. It looks like fairy tale stuff. Things suddenly changing, they go backwards in time. It's one thing if you're looking at it, it's something else if you're not looking at it. In fact, you would think that the subatomic particles would not be aware that people are looking at them or not looking at them, but they respond. If you look at them, they respond one way. If you don't look at them, they respond a different way.
So let me see if I can take it down. So quantum physics involves the study at a molecular level of things that are at a subatomic level. And at that study of the subatomic level, what we've learned is that things don't follow the general rules of nature.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily. That things change quickly and things will shift quickly and things will be different quickly. And it's not just according to physical natural law.
It's
with that
totally
in mind.
Totally not. In fact, the laws of nature that you mentioned really on the subatomic level are not the laws of nature at all. The laws of nature are completely different from what we normally would expect.
So that the laws of nature may include chaos.
And they do include, absolutely.
Right, as
absolutely.
Opposed to order.
Absolutely.
Now, we want to put things in order because we like to understand things. We want to make sense out of things. So we put them in order, and we say, ah, here's the reason why this leads to this. When you were a child, you got hit by your mother. Therefore, you don't trust women. Therefore, you grew up, and you never had any friends. That's like this nice linear belief system.
Right.
Cause-effect. Quantum physics says, yeah, but, you know, maybe your mother used a spatula made of a banana leaf, and that affected you in some way.
That's right.
And that there are many more factors involved.
And using the secrets of quantum physics, you can go back. You can do. I talk about meditations that you do. That you go back and you take that spatula out of your mother's hand and say, "Don't hit me with this," and that changes your present. That changes things. That heals things. That's how you can heal issues from the past.
When you're doing an approach to healing yourself with a quantum consciousness, right? The name of the book is Five Steps to Quantum Life by Natalie Reed. But if you're trying to approach your life with five steps to a quantum consciousness, or you're using a quantum consciousness, what do you do when you get angry, Natalie?
No matter what feeling you have, you express your feeling appropriately. That's very important. You don't, especially with anger, you don't want to deny it or repress it. If you're angry at something, you deal with it. If it's the cab driver, you are appropriate and, you know, tell them you're not happy. But if it's maybe somebody closer to you, you can really go into detail. If it's the clerk in the store, you know, you want to express the anger. Most important thing is you don't want to stuff it down and say, oh, well, no, I'm fine. You want to acknowledge you're angry. Whatever your feeling is,
about anger if it's with somebody close to you and appropriate? Is it all right if anger turns into rage?
Well, whatever you're feeling is all right.
Okay. And if rage turns into violence?
No. I'm saying, you know, you don't want to express rage at someone else. If you feel rage yourself, you can just feel it, sit there quietly and feel it. You don't have to lash out at somebody. That is not appropriate.
What's not appropriate now? Is telling someone you're angry appropriate?
Totally.
Is telling somebody you're rageful appropriate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Expressing rage toward someone appropriate?
If you're not damaging somebody, it's appropriate.
Well, if you're yelling at a child.
No, that's not appropriate.
So there are rules of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in the expression of feelings, and there are feelings that are okay, and then there are feelings where you better watch out.
No, I think all feelings are okay. I just think that you want to express them appropriately. You don't want to be abusive to other people. I have a principle of harm to no one, and so if I feel really angry, I try to be careful so that I'm not hurting somebody with my anger. And I think that's a responsibility of every adult. I mean, we want to be responsible for our feelings.
Where does love play in this?
Where does love play?
Yeah, and finding a love relationship or having a love relationship.
Well, that would go along right along with getting a job. I mean, anything you want, love relationship is part of it. You know, you can, you know, figure out why it is you don't have it, and there's lots of reasons why you might not have the relationship, and then you want to think about being open and then making paths so that it'll be easy for you to believe that this person can come to you, so you are not sitting in your room all the time, 24/7, and hoping someone's going to knock on your door, but you are also online on the online dating service, and you're going out to singles things, and you're meeting, you know, you're going to dates, blind dates that your friends fix up for you. I mean, you do things in the physical world to support your new beliefs and your new visualization and your affirmations. It all works in concert.
Our guest is Natalie Reed, who wrote the book The Five Steps to a Quantum Life. And the reason Natalie talks about a quantum life is she says that you can't imagine, I believe she says, you can't imagine it's just a linear following of natural laws that lead you to get from one spot to another. There is magic out there. Magic meaning there are things that we don't understand yet, but things happen and things pop from one place to another, and you never know what's going to happen. What Natalie does is she says, consider the whole pie. So imagine if you're in a love, you can't find somebody to love and you can't find that love relationship. She says, look into it. First, clear out your past. Ask yourself, what benefit would I get by not having somebody? and then answer that question and find that question. And when you really go into that, you'll find that you just don't toss the answer away. I mean, pay attention. Once you see that, you could say to yourself, oh, okay, there's a reason why I've been holding back. And then you say to yourself, well, regardless of that, I do want to find what I want. I do want the love I want. I do want the job I want. For this, Natalie has another solution, which is part of the steps that are outlined in her book. She has a thing called visualizations, which means you picture what you want. But you do more than visualization, don't you, Natalie? Don't you post it up on your refrigerator?
Sure. And you want to reinforce it in the physical world. So you're going to do a meditation where you're actually picturing it and feeling it. And then you want to anchor it in the physical world by putting it on your refrigerator or putting it up on the mirror or doing something to remind yourself that this is coming.
So if you're somebody who wanted to lose weight, what would you put on your refrigerator?
I'm getting slimmer and more healthy every day.
Slimmer and more healthy every day. And if you're somebody who wanted to find love?
I would say my new love is coming to me. Hmm. He's getting closer every day.
He may be in the refrigerator now.
He might be in the refrigerator right now, exactly.
and the other one, if you're looking for work.
Yes, my new job is coming. I will soon have a job. Or you can. It's really good to put a date. By May 1st, I will have a wonderful new job, and then you can describe it, and you put that up.
You've obviously used this in your own life.
Many times.
And it's kind of turned you around. What was the most dramatic change in your life related to using the knowledge of quantum physics to help change yourself?
Wow. I won't be able to give you the most dramatic because I've been doing this for 20 years.
Give me the
years.
Second most dramatic.
I'll just give you a recent example of how it works. And let me just say, Armand, one of the things that is so funny about this is that it will always look like a coincidence. You're never going to be able to prove to anybody that this is exactly the vision you had, that the address is the same, that there's a same number of stairs up to the office. You can't prove it because you can't prove what you were thinking. Even if you wrote it down, there's no way to prove that you were imagining this particular thing. But you'll know. And that's the whole point. We don't have to prove to the scientists anything. It's just that you'll know. Something that happened to me recently was I had the pain in my foot. I had it x-rayed. It turned out that a screw that I had put in years before had broken, and it broke my foot. And the doctor said, you have to have a device. The insurance doesn't cover it. It's $1,800 to stimulate the bone to regrow. And I immediately, using my principle, said, I'm not paying $1,800 for something that I'll never even be able to use again. And I visualized that my foot would be healed. I didn't know how. I didn't focus on how. I just focused on it being healed. I visited a friend the very next day with my cast back on my foot, my boot on my foot, and she asked me what was going on. When I told her, she said, oh, I have one of those machines. You can have mine.
Wow.
Yeah, and it works all the time. I mean, when you say the most dramatic, my mind, it goes blank because I have had hundreds of these things. I mean, all the time it works. All the time. And it's the more you use these techniques, the more they work for you consistently.
The name of the book, The 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want, looks like an awful great book to take to the beach also, because at the beach you get a chance, to really breathe that air. Natalie Reed has been with us. Natalie, we're going to have you back at another time. Thanks for putting up with our technical difficulty we had at the beginning. We learned something from it. And you'll be able to get a copy of this online today by going to thepositivemind.com. So thank you for being with us. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'll play you a little music, and we'll be doing some more stuff, taking your calls.
Thank you, Armand, very much.
My pleasure, Natalie.
Keep me on side.
know all the lyrics. It's Alice Russell, Mean to Me. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. If you just tuned in, we're speaking about quantum life, the quantum physics of life. We had with us on the air a guest, Natalie Reed, who is the author of The 5 Steps to a Quantum Life. Natalie presents 2 very interesting concepts, but one concept is if you don't have what you want in your life, she says maybe there's a reason, and maybe the reason is you. Now, she doesn't say you're to blame. However, she says that according to the theory of quantum physics, we understand there are many unseeable elements that are pushing against each other that you may not be able to recognize. Some of them are psychodynamic, and some of them are just the forces of nature. And she says you can't see them. So she says if you look on a quantum level, if you consider everything, somehow you can guide your life a little better. Now, the beginning of this, the part that she did say that I think was important, is to look at what you don't have in your life that you want and to make the assumption. Now, I'm going to teach you something. In science, well, when I was doing science, I don't know if they do it anymore, we used to do a thing called a null hypothesis. Did you ever hear of the null hypothesis? It has nothing to do with Gary. The null hypothesis is a, if you have a belief in something, if you say, this pen will fall off the table, the way you prove it is you prove the opposite. You prove that the pen will not fall. The null hypothesis is proving the opposite of something that you want to prove. By trying to prove the opposite of what you're trying to prove, if you can't prove the opposite, sometimes you prove the thing itself. I'll give you examples of it. So if you say to yourself, I only want love in my life, but you don't have love in your life, what's the null hypothesis? The null hypothesis is, I don't want love in my life. Now we proceed to prove or try to prove why you don't want love in your life. And what's very difficult about this, and this is a very difficult task for most people and students of psychology, is you can't let yourself off the hook. You can't say, no, it's not true. You have to dive in as if it is true. So if you want to say, I don't want love in my life, then say things to yourself that only validate the perception of why you don't want love. Don't validate the perception of why you do. So you'd say things such as, I don't want to trust anyone. I've trusted in the past. I don't want to trust anyone again. I don't want to be dependent on anyone. I don't want anyone needing me. I feel suffocated. I don't want to have that yet. And just go to prove the null hypothesis. When you do that, it opens up a whole bunch of pictures for you. So then you say to yourself at some point, you know, well, here's the evidence. I don't want love, and there's the underlying fear. And it begins to manifest. So let's look at success. Everybody wants to be successful. I don't. Let's prove the null hypothesis. I don't want success. Why don't I want success? Well, the reasons aren't all crazy, you know. Part of the reason I don't want too much success is, well, I've got a personal one. I remember network TV. There was an option for me to be on network television. And I said, network television, do I want to do network television? And everything inside me shied against it. Because there's something about my privacy, or as you would say, my privacy, that that I value. Therefore, to walk down the street and be recognized and have people jump on you, not my cup of tea. Okay, they recognize my voice. They say, aren't you Armand? Well, that's okay. I have a distance. But sometimes there's stuff that comes with being successful that you may not want. Notoriety, the image of the false self, having to keep your image going, having nothing private. Okay, or on the bad side, meaning if there's psychological phenomena at work, I don't want to be successful because if I was successful, I would have surpassed my father. And I don't want to surpass my father because it would mean that I am no longer his child. All these incredible factors that could be working in your mind somewhere, the null hypothesis. Why you don't want really what you claim you want. How many friends do you have, my friends, who say, all I want is good love, good loving relationship, give me somebody great, and I'll have that great somebody. And then they wind up going and get picked sadistic psychopaths as their boyfriends. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean you only want great? And you pick sick because the truth is it's not what you want. See, its truth is you don't want it. When I see couples for counseling, sometimes what I will do is I'll have them face each other, and in the middle of it, some kind of an experience we're doing, I have them say the following expression, and I just kid around with them. It's a joke at first. It says, if you get too close to me, I'll kill you. That's what one person says to the other person. Now, this is a married couple. And they say it to each other, and I say, now, I know I'm just kidding. And then they look at me, both of them, almost always, and say, no, this is not joking. They know about this. There are parts of you that don't want people that close. And that's why you don't have anybody that close. So uncovering that is a very big thing. And maybe you could help me with this by calling me today at 212-209-2900. Maybe you can talk to me about some of the things you see about yourself that are the other side of what you think you want. You think you want a lot of money? But, you know, remember Porgy and Bess? I got no locks on my door. That's the way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor. That's okay with me because the things that I thrive, like the stars in the sky, they're all free. So I got plenty of nothing. There's a reason why having nothing is great. Because once you have something, you have to insure it, you know? And people know about that. People know about insuring. People know about buying insurance and having to get mortgages and then all those different things that go on. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's see if we have any callers right now. We're going to take your call. We'll be right with you. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Armand? This is Eddie.
Hey, Eddie. How are you?
I'm all right. You lost me with that null hypothesis thing.
I did. Okay, let me get back.
How can proving what you the opposite of what you want, how is that?
Okay, let's do it, Eddie. Tell me something you want.
Children.
You want to have babies?
Yes.
Okay, now you don't have babies?
No.
Okay, so what have you done to try to have babies?
Well, I've been in relationships. I mean, you know, just didn't work out.
Okay, just didn't work out is the way it seems. Now I want you to try something else. Go on the other side.
Yeah.
And imagine you were the dark side of Eddie.
Yeah.
And the dark side of Eddie says to me, you know, I really don't want children. Now you have to make up 5 reasons why you don't want to have children. And it's hard, Eddie, because you're basing your life on the assumption that you do want to have children, and you feel like just a victim of not being able to meet the right person.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. How was your childhood?
Well, it was all right. I mean,
was everybody glad they were born?
Well, my brother was a lot older than me from a previous marriage, so I basically spent a lot of time alone.
So you want to have children, but part of the reason you don't want to have children, if you're a loner, maybe a part of a reason you don't want to have children is because you're a loner.
I don't like being alone. I mean, I don't mind being alone. I'm comfortable with myself.
Are you alone a lot?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time by myself. I mean, I'm not really social, if you want to put it that way.
So you're not a social guy.
No.
So maybe the reason you don't want to have children is because you're not a social guy. Because once you have children, Eddie, they're all over you.
But I want to have children. I hear.
Give me another reason why you may not want to have children. How about the responsibility, Eddie? You are not right now. You are responsible only for Eddie, right?
No, I'm in a relationship with a woman who has a child from another relationship. I'm responsible for her.
How do you like being responsible for her and her child?
Sometimes it's frustrating, but it's okay.
What's the frustrating part of it?
People don't do what you want them to do. People don't.
Okay, so part of the reason why you don't want to have children necessarily is because you may wind up with people who don't do what you want them to do. And you like people to do what you want them to do.
Well, when I think what I'm saying is right, yeah, you should do it.
Absolutely. If you're going to be right, they should do what you say, Eddie. Yeah. So, you know, and then you're going to have children, and children, they never do what's right. But keep going. And you, this is the way in, and I know it's difficult for you because once a person bases their life on a belief system that this is what I want, it's very hard for them to shake it. And I need you to shake your own belief system and to tell me why you don't want to have children.
But it's not something that I want to do. You know, I want to have a child.
Okay.
I mean, it's difficult.
I got you. Okay, I hear.
Difficult.
I hear, and I'm saying to you that the way you get it is you got to go on the other side, and you're strongly resisting going on the other side.
But I don't see how going on the other side is going to help me manifest that in my life.
Try it out.
All right, I'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. 212-209-2900, which is perfect because, you see, that's what happens to people. I can't see how looking at the other side, and, of course, the other side is in shadow, and once it's in shadow, it's invisible. And once it's invisible, it takes control. 212-209-2900. Thanks for calling in. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Yash Chaudhary, and I'm having a lot of mental pressure. One of my friends, with both of us together, went last February 18, went to Bangladesh visit. We were together. I used to call him almost every alternative day. And I returned from Bangladesh to New York. And while I came, I told him to come with me because he was having some problem with his wife. And suddenly, last week, I got the news that he got killed in his apartment.
Yeah.
Apparently, his family think it was done by his wife. And before leaving here, actually they killed him along with the maid because the wife was living somewhere else and they were not getting along. So,
Ines, what are you feeling? Are you feeling panic? Are you feeling depressed? What are you feeling?
Yes, I'm feeling chronic depressed because, you know, before coming back to New York, I went to his house in the morning, and the same maid who got killed along with him, she made the
breakfast. Have you been able to speak to anybody about it other than the legal things? Have you talked to anybody about it?
No, actually, that is a legal matter over there in Bangladesh. But I didn't speak with anybody. But I.
All right. It sounds like. So let me finish what I'm saying, Ines.
Yes.
Sounds like you've got the kind of an emotional distress that's like a post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm a little concerned about you and your well-being. What I want you to do is call my office, and I'm going to find someone who's going to speak to you on a more intimate level rather than with a million people. And try to help you get to the bottom so that you can make more peace with yourself.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you a telephone number.
212-757-4488. 4488. 68, right?
No, 88.
Oh, 4488. Thank you.
All right, Ines, we'll take care of you.
Okay.
212-209-2900. There are certain things that I just can't do on the air, and that's one of them. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900.
Hello.
Hello.
I was very impressed by how sensitive you were to this man.
What's your name?
My name is Ann. I've called before.
Hello, Ann.
And I'm sitting in a pigsty of a cluttered small apartment.
Sure.
Year after year, promising to clean it and getting very far. And I'm thinking, why do I want this? It has entered my mind before to wonder why I'd want this. But not mostly, I just agonize why I can't
get
rid of it.
Okay, so let's prove the null hypothesis. Give me five reasons.
Okay, the first thing is I can't have people here.
Right, so that's great. This keeps people away.
Yes.
One.
Secondly, I can't find things, so I go crazy when I have deadlines for papers or just have to know when to get somewhere, and I've written it down and can't find where it is.
So it keeps me preoccupied with trying to find things, because things are so far all over the place that it makes me generate my energy. Now, just to show you this one, Ann, how this one works with people, if you have a tendency towards depression, which I know you do, one of the things that people do when they clutter is they are constantly energizing themselves.
Yes.
You see, you're energizing yourself so you don't slide into the depression. Not a
bad
sign.
It's like the panic gets me moving.
That's right. The panic gets you moving. Third thing, another thing why you keep everything around you. Can you
I'm sorry. My mind wandered. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh, sure.
Let's see. Third thing.
Fourth thing.
Well, I guess I don't have to deal with things. I just have so many things I can't bother getting any more.
Right now,
shopping.
Look around your house right now. Do you see all your things?
Yes.
What do you see in front of you? Books, pages?
Mostly papers and some objects like old umbrellas and bags on the floor and old telephones.
Stop. If you would stop for a minute, Ann, I want you to look at the papers on your table.
Mm-hmm.
You see them?
Yes.
Are they a pile of a mess or a mess of a pile?
They're neat. The ones I'm looking at are neat.
Neat meaning all the edges match?
Roughly. Not very closely, roughly.
Okay, and you know half of what's in that pile, but the other half you're not sure of, right?
Yes.
Exactly right? Yes. And look at your umbrellas now. Can you see them?
Yeah.
You see them?
Yes.
I want you to smile at your umbrellas.
Oh, my God.
I want you to say, hi, friends.
Oh, hello, umbrellas. I feel sorry for you. You're all banged up.
No, I'm going to try it a different way.
Yes.
Hello, old friend. I want you to feel hello, old friend, to your banged up umbrella friend. Because it is an old friend of yours. And you know all those papers and the clutter you have around you?
Yes.
This is your family.
Now I'm starting to cry.
I know. See, you've created a family for yourself. And your family is sitting in the home. And part of the reason you don't want to get rid of them is because you don't want to dump the only family you have. You know?
Well, I actually can't even have my granddaughter here.
That's right, but she's not real family.
Well, she never wanted to come.
That's right. And they're not real family compared to...
Are you serious about that?
I'm serious.
Because I have trouble thinking of my granddaughter as not my family.
But they're not real family. Family is what you've created around you and you're living with. So part of the reason, part of the null hypothesis, part of the reason you can't let this go is because this is all you got. This is your family. And at one point, if you acknowledge the family and you really acknowledge them, at one day you'll take a beat-up umbrella and you'll take it and you'll put it outside on a rainy day. And you'll say, here, just in case somebody could use this beat-up, broken umbrella. And you'll bid it goodbye, but you'll say goodbye to it as a friend. And you'll do that with every piece of paper you separate with, because I don't want you to throw it in the garbage. I don't want you to throw it in the dump, just as I wouldn't want anybody to throw you in the dump or throw you in the garbage. I want you to treasure these things, which are yours, because you do, because they're your family.
That's amazing. I have thrown things out, but never in that kind of way.
Yeah. So what you're doing is not throwing things away.
Saying goodbye and...
You're parting with things, that's it. Uh-huh. Once you make that shift in your mind, things change, Ann.
Wow.
Hey,
well, that's a big surprise.
Yeah. And I thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. So one of the ways in, as I said, is the way you do it, is you do it from the other side, from the side you don't expect, you know. The human mind is such a powerful thing. It has so many pockets and places to hide. But if you hide from yourself, you know, the inevitable's got to happen. Eventually it'll just pop out and spook you when you don't know it. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Happy birthday to all of you out there whose birthday is coming up just about now. And I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 with more of this fascinating, interesting stuff about the human mind, how it functions, and how we all quantumly live together. If you want more information, go to thepositivemind.com and you can hear today's program.
Jason Castro.